Ho 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 ho. Would you believe this is the 11-day spiritual retreat, and it is the thought for today that is being ho ho ho'd to you today. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, surrounded by a bevy of beautiful women who are just madly in love with me and telling me how wonderful I am and how great I am and how creative I am and how fantastic I am and how I am their reflection. They're not going to let me get away from that. Right, Rex? I am your reflection, yes. Today, we have our thought for today entitled, How I Create the Garden of Eden. Ho, ho, ho. How do I create the Garden of Eden? Now think about it. How do I create the Garden of Eden? Good idea. How do I create the Garden of Eden? I create the Garden of Eden by my thought. Now, do you create the Garden of Eden, your Garden of Eden, by your thought? You create the Garden of Eden by your thought, don't you? You create the Garden of Eden by your attitude. You create the Garden of Eden by your lovingness, by your sensitivity, by your caringness. You create the Garden of Eden by your garbage pile. Ooh, what is that all about? Well, we have a trash container that gets emptied once a week. And we used to take our trailer to the dump and pay $40 a load and unload it every week at the dump. And we just had ourselves a ball at that. Now, Sylvia's going to catch that telephone call for whatever it is, but it's probably just our handyman saying he's going to come wash the motorhome today. But we had this trailer to go to the dump once a week at $40 a crack. And then we saw these big trash containers that our neighbors had sticking around their yard, and they threw everything from the kitchen sink in there, you know. And so we called the company, and they said it would cost, what, $25 a month? $100 a month.
$135.
Well, divide that by four. What do you come up with?
$120 and $30, and between $30 and $40.
Oh, between 30 and 40. So in other words, we get a larger container to put trash in, and we don't have to haul it to the dump ourselves. We don't have to do anything to it. They come every Tuesday and pick it up and take everything away. Now, we have one of our ladies here at the Garden of Eden called Ingeborg. And Ingeborg likes to pick up trash and put it into the trash container, which is a beautiful thing to do, of course. But she likes to put it in so that every inch of the trash container is judiciously used so that we don't waste any space, you know, so that we get our full maximum dollar value out of the load that we send away. So, okay, then what? Well, she piles it in there. So then I come along and I say, Ingeborg, I have some things to put in the trash container. And she says, well, it's full. And I say, good. So I pile it right on top. And so it stands up maybe 5 or 6 feet above the trash container. And Sylvia says, well, they'll never take that. And Ingeborg says, don't you realize that you're not supposed to pile it higher than the top of it? And I say, I can do anything because I love the trash men. I've never seen them. I've never met them. I love the trash men, and I bless them, and I say that whenever they come to our place, it's the end of the road for them, and they're going to take that load back, and they would like to have it full. And so they want ours fuller than full. And so they empty it. Never a word, never a statement, never increasing the bill or anything. In fact, one day we even put a piano in there because we had to get rid of this old piano, tried to give it away, nobody wanted it, and took our lift on our tractor and just lift it up, put it over, and pop, down in, and it's gone. And they didn't care. It was just trash. And it was wonderful. Well, you see, how do I create my Garden of Eden? I create my Garden of Eden just beautiful. I create it just wonderful. Wherever there are sticks, we pick them up and we throw them in our trash container. Wherever there are leaves or trash, or what do you call it, bushes that you pull out, you know, weeds, I put them in the trash container. And our place looks reasonably good. reasonably good for 104 acres, with just the four of us monks doing the thing here. Well, I think we do a pretty good job. Sylvia doesn't do too much. She just gets out there and throws in the trash bags and throws in the others. But we have a different job for Sylvia. We have a different job for Sylvia. We name Sylvia Miss America. She is our swim queen. And she goes into the swimming pools, and she makes them all beautiful, and she keeps the what level do you keep up? The pH level. She keeps that all up perfectly, and then when necessary, she even paints around the top edge of the pool. She just is a master lady in maintaining all of our little fun and games area. And Ellen, she oversees the whole thing, and she's looking at everything and making sure that everything is perfect here in the Garden of Eden. Oh, we had a special little area that we called the Garden of Eden. We called it the Paradise Garden. And there we had a beautiful lawn, was surrounded by a fence, and a little creek that we created with a little a house that had the waterfall on it. You know, it's no bigger than a little birdhouse, you might say. It's quite small, maybe about 3 or 4 feet by 3 or 4 feet. And it was very lovely. And that ran for, almost 25 years. And it just was beautiful. And then one day we took our attention away from the Paradise Garden and put it to all the other things. And believe it or not, the Paradise Garden grew up with weeds. Just weeds, weeds, weeds. We had a beautiful lawn before that. But weeds grew up when we gave our attention to other things and not to our Paradise Garden. And when we gave our attention to our Paradise Garden, everybody came here and walked the little silly bridge over the little creek that we made. And they walked all around it, and they just loved it, and they sat there on the bench under the beautiful trees and meditated, and were just so thrilled with it, just so delighted in it. And we used it as one of our photo centers, you know, where when our guests came, we would take pictures of them there. But we let it go to seed. And then finally, we took the fence down. And then when we took the fence down, the Paradise Garden was gone, because now it was just part of the larger area. Well, we have an area there which is maybe 20 acres, or maybe 30 acres maybe. And every year in our 30 years here on the mountain, we have been planting Christmas trees there. So there are more than 30 Christmas trees. But you see, Ellen is one of these people that feels every house should have a Christmas tree. And so always a live one. So in the Hermitage, she put a Christmas tree. In the embassy, she put a Christmas tree. In the monastery, she put a Christmas tree. And if we had guests in the citadel, we put a Christmas tree. In the oasis, we put a Christmas tree. And we never put a Christmas tree in the Shangri-La. That was a shame. That would be nice. But always Christmas trees. And I think we even had some little Christmas trees up in the retreats when we had guests at Christmas time. And so then we take these trees and we plant them out in our broad field out here. And now we have this wonderful grove of pine trees, which had all been Christmas trees at one time. So we could call that our Christmas tree
garden,
a Christmas tree garden. That's be quite lovely. But you see, how do I create my Garden of Eden? My Garden of Eden can be this body of mine. My Garden of Eden can be my home. My Garden of Eden can be my work. My Garden of Eden can be my community. It can be my state. It can be my country. It can be my world. But everywhere I go, I am like Ingeborg. I'm picking up little sticks that don't belong to places and throwing them in the trash. I'm picking up sticks on the road, and occasionally a stone will get popped up on the road. The car is driving over it, and it was down below the dirt, and as the cars went by, it just came to the surface. And so we set them along the side, so now we have nice lined roads with stones, which I am in the process of considering removing all the stones. Because if all the stones are removed, then we can take our wonderful Dr. All-Terrain and chop down everything just by driving our little Dr. All-Terrain and chop, 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 chop. And we can take our sit-on lawnmower and drive it around and cut down the taller grass and weeds and what have you. But we can't do that with rocks here and there. And we have to use a weed whacker when we do that. And that's a little more time-consuming and tedious, but it does great results. So we take care of these things. And as I walk along the path, I reach down and I pull up the little weeds and the big weeds and the in-between weeds. And I don't worry. When I tire of doing that, I stop. And then the next time I come around the path, I go a little further and a little further. And so in a few days' time, in a week or two or a month, all the weeds of that path are picked up. So then I walk another path. And as I walk another path, I pull the weeds from there. And you'd be surprised. You know, you've seen this little cuckoo bird that is on a pivot. And the cuckoo bird sticks its nose down in the water. And then, pop up, it ropes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then when its beak gets dry, then it sticks it down in the water again. And I don't know the function of how it works right offhand, but that's the way I am. This little cuckoo bird, bending over, picking up weeds, bending over, picking up weeds, throwing them off the side, bending over, picking up weeds. But this is my Garden of Eden, and I love it. And I bless every inch of every path with the meditation path. I say everyone who walks these meditation paths is just illumined with the pure white light of love and light within them. They are just fantastic. They're glorious. They're wonderful. And people come onto the University of Healing campus here, and they say, my gosh, this is a special place. And I say, well, what makes you think that? You know, what makes you think that? You know, they say, well, it's so peaceful here. There's a sense of harmony and happiness and goodness here. And I said, well, what makes you think that? He said, well, I can feel it from within me. And I said, no, you can't. I said, yes, you can feel it from within you, but that's you. You brought that peace and that harmony and that love here. And thank you very much. You know, you can come often. But you see, they want to say it's something they found here. And we want people to know that it's what they bring here. Because every person comes to the campus and brings their heart, brings their joy, brings their harmony, brings their peace, and makes this place the wonder that it is. I know. I walk the path, and I make it the wonder that it is. I don't look at the path and say, what are you weeds doing on my path? What are you stones doing right in the middle of the road here? Well, and how can I run the weed whacker around here and do these things here with all this nonsense here? And then when the rain comes down, and the rain did a crazy thing the other day. It was just really silly, silly, silly. But it came down and down and down. And we had taken the drain of under the road away at one point. And so the road, it filled up with water behind it and climbed up on top of the road. And then instead of going across the road and going back down in the ditch again, it went to the left. And it went, I didn't know that was downhill, but it went to the left. And it went way to the left to where our other drain is, and then it turned right and went down. And it was 200-300 feet, maybe more, you know. And it just washed, and it didn't hurt the road terribly. It just sort of washed it away and just went down there. And it was a lot of water because it really did a lot of rinsing. And I hadn't even noticed that, but when I went over there, I said, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful how nature handles this? Yes.
And our handyman said, you guys had a lot of rain here. So the interesting part is we created this rain just here on our property because next door wasn't all that rain.
Interesting, isn't it? And of course, by our little tunnel-less bridge made of dirt, made a big puddle. And the puddle was maybe about 20 feet across by maybe about 100 feet long. And as I was walking along, I didn't think too much about it, but Rex, my beautiful golden retriever who loves water, jumped into that muddy puddle and swam around and looked around. He says, hey, Dad, this is a new swimming pool. I like this very much. And when he came out, he looked terrible, you know. And then he shook and shook and shook and shook and shook. And so then he went to our next pond, which is at the Shangri-La, and he got in there and settled down and laid down and rolled over and rinsed himself off and came out all fresh and clean as you could be. And then I thought, well, now I got to get you into the pool, the swimming pool. So I took a hose, and I washed him off in front of the garage with the hose and cleaned him all off, and he was all clean as a whistle, and then he went into the swimming pool, just had a ball.
Nice.
But he was clean. He was really rinsed. And at first he said, oh, it's cold. And then he said, but I love it. Keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. He just loves water. But you see, How I create the paradise garden, how I create the Garden of Eden, is what I do, what I put into it. And it's not what somebody else puts into it. Now, Brian, our handyman, came over and said that it rained here more than it did anywhere else. And why didn't it rain more anyplace else? My sister called from Wilmington, Delaware, yesterday, and she said they had just finished one of the most terrible thunderstorms that they've had in years. And the wind was blowing, and trees were knocked down, and lightning and thunder all over the place. And she says, but when you called, it settled down. And I said, well, how nice of you. And see, wherever I go, I bring my peace, I bring my love, I bring my joy. And this is true. And take credit for it. My sister said, I'm glad you called. It all stopped now. And it's wonderful that she noticed that that was it. But she should have really noticed that when we called each other, it was a matter that it stopped, because she was now putting a different cause in motion. A cause in motion of talking to me about peace. And you see, this is the wonderful thing about life. The wonderful thing about life. We create our own Garden of Eden every moment of our life. And if we create a Garden of Eden with our downturned lips and with a frown on our face, then that's our Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden that was in the first chapter of Genesis was quite something. It was the world. The world was a Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. Everything was given to man, animals, and fish, and birds, and things for them to eat and use and enjoy. And not each other, but plants and trees and bushes and things that had seeds and things for man to eat. And man lived in paradise on earth. The whole earth was his paradise. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, they decided to make a few changes. And the patriarchal Moses, he told the story about Adam and Eve, you know, that Eve was nothing more than a rib of Adam, you know, and how wonderful, you know. And that because they fooled around and ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the first chapter they said, eat everything. It's all for you. There's nothing withdrawn, nothing hidden. There's nothing secret from you. You're my creation, and you're me, and I'm you, and we're all together. And then in the second chapter, what does he do? He says, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means the knowledge of judgment that I have, and I don't want you to have that. Because if you have that, it's going to mess you up, because you're not as good as I am. And man, oh man, they started going off on the wrong tangent at that moment. And that's a shame. So read the first chapter of Genesis and love it and follow it and realize that that's the Bible, as far as a written Bible from somebody else. It's a story of the religious development of a people. Now, what is your Garden of Eden? Your Garden of Eden is a story of the religious development of you, of what you feel about yourself. Do you feel that you are glorious and wonderful and beautiful and fantastic? Do you feel that you are something so great and so super? If you do, then you're doing it right. If you think you're a sinner and you're worthless and you're nothing at all, then somewhere, you got the wrong message. You got the wrong message. Can you imagine going to school and having your teacher say, all right, you sinners, sit down. All right, you sinners, you good-for-nothing kids, you're not worthy of me teaching you. Sit down, and I will deign to tell you something. I'll deign to. And how would you learn in that class?
No.
You'd learn to run away. You'd learn to escape. You'd learn to get into another environment, to get into another world. Even with death, it'd be better than living by being told that you're sinners and you're bad. So this is what we have told ourselves. And we have told ourselves this with one word. And that word is, you've called yourself human. The moment that you return to your original purity and integrity and start calling yourself divine, then you will be in the Garden of Eden eternally. And you'll be in the Garden of Eden that will be the most wonderful garden that you could ever have in your life. And you'll be the happiest beings in the world. Here at the monastery, here at the embassy, at the, what all we got here, Hermitage and Citadel and Oasis and Shangri-La and what else did we have? All that good stuff. All the retreats. here with 104 acres for four people to go around enjoying themselves, and a few guests who come now and then. And the guests are not guests, because nobody here is a guest. Everybody here belongs. This is theirs. All of it is theirs. All of it is theirs to use, to enjoy, to be with. And then we each have our own little area, you know. When Dorothea Zimmerman came on the 5-month rehabilitation program, Sylvia gave her, her own bedroom, her own personal room. And Sylvia lived in her office. And Sylvia just says, I don't mind. I don't mind doing this for Dorothea. She's my sister, you know. Like the boy in the, he says, it's okay, Father. This is my brother. He's not heavy. Dorothea wasn't heavy. You see, when we live our life in such love and such gentleness and such givingness, we are so happy and so fulfilled. So you have a lovely day in your Garden of Eden, and I'm having a great day in my Garden of Eden, and this is just the beginning. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.